Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Welcome to the show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Starting Monday, the free Phil Hendry podcast. Visit us online at philhendryshow.com. There'll be a link there for our podcast. It will originate as well over at philhendryradio.com. And while you're over at philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass. You can watch our live streaming video cast of the show right now. We are on Phil TV in HD here at the El Pacifico, and you can also watch it on demand up to 5 days. We have a five-day video archive. We have thousands of hours, over 10 years. That's over a decade's worth of full three-hour shows. So when I say that this is it's a virtual Phil Hendry library, to the extent that you're interested in that kind of thing, we've got it at philhendryshow.com. Our number again, 877-876-PHIL. Oh, by the way, Memorial Day coming up. It's not really a gift-giving day, but if you've got a Phil Hendry fan in the family, if you want to decorate the house with Phil Hendry mugs or something, I don't know, visit our shop. We have a souvenir shop. We've got the brand-new Bobby Dooley keychains. We also have, of course, our ever-popular Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. And lots of stuff there at philhendryshow.com in our shop. Margaret Gray is going to join us tonight because she's been working on a story that apparently has borne some fruit. And we're going to talk with her right now about it. She is in Santa Monica this evening. And I think you've just come from work, Margaret.
Yeah, Phil, I've just been over from Angelica Dicklin's office. And we are on this story. I got to tell you... It was a bolt out of the blue today.
Well, what we're talking about is a former police officer claiming to have solved the mystery of San Francisco's Zodiac Killer.
The mystery of the Zodiac has been solved, Phil. He is a 91-year-old man living in, I believe it is, Solano County, California. We don't have his name. Again, we do not have his name. But this is a former police officer who says he has finally solved the mystery. Lyndon Lafferty, L-A-F-F-E-R-T-Y, says the killer is this 91-year-old alcoholic man, by the way, Phil, living in Northern California. He will not name the suspect.
Now, this is the former police officer, a San Francisco police officer?
A former police officer. I'll check to see what agency he worked with. I believe he was San Francisco Police. It might be a smaller agency. As you know, Phil, there were a number of different police agencies working on that case in the late 1960s and early 1970s. So it is, it's possible that this officer, this Mr. Lafferty, did indeed work for a different police agency other than San Francisco PD.
All right. Now, you know, there was another suspect that I think they'd been talking about.
Yes, Mr. Allen was the name.
Allen. What is his full name?
The man that you're talking about, and they also mentioned him in the Zodiac movie, was cleared. His name was Arthur Lee Allen. He was a local man linked by way of circumstantial evidence that also included the fact that he owned a typewriter of the same make as that used to write the letters, and he also wore a Zodiac brand wristwatch. DNA evidence, I am told, Phil, ruled him out as a suspect. But that's really neither here nor there. What we're talking about here is this new evidence and this new suspect. Again, he has not been named.
Well, can I just jump in with a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to know one thing. If you've got the information, Margaret, you do, you don't. DNA evidence. Now, we're talking about 1970, 71.
Yes.
When these murders were committed, what DNA evidence did they have of the Zodiac?
You know, Phil, I don't know. We do know that the police have cleared that man, Arthur Lee Allen. They say, and I'm looking at the report from ABC News, that he was cleared of DNA evidence. What we're trying to do now, this is explosive news, and it is the fact that this case has been solved. And
well, okay, I understand that.
I'm a reporter, and I have been reporting on all kinds of news, including crime news, for a long time. Yes, I started out as an actress, and I've done a lot of things in entertainment, but I'm a writer now and have been for many years. And I'm telling you that this is one of the biggest breaks and probably the big story of the year.
All right. Okay, so what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is Margaret Gray is with us. A 91-year-old man who is identified, you identify him as an alcoholic.
I don't identify him as an alcoholic. Lyndon Lafferty. Lyndon Lafferty is the man. He identifies him as an alcoholic. He lives in Solano County. He's 91. And apparently, the evidence is very, very, very strong.
All right, we're talking with Margaret Gray, and we're discussing the possibility that the Zodiac killer that terrorized the San Francisco Bay Area over a period of years, actually. I mean, the man had sent these letters to the San Francisco Chronicle. He'd sent letters to local television.
Yeah, and he also had sent letters to, I believe, the police, taunting them in much the same manner that Jack the Ripper did, almost 100 years before. So the psychopath, being a grandiose and self-involved and narcissistic individual, the psychopath loves the attention and loves to control. And that's what this Zodiac was doing.
All right, but we're talking about that. The time frame is what?
I'm sorry?
What was the time frame that the Zodiac killer was killing?
Well, you said it. It was 1970-71. Getting back to this man, though.
Right. So this is the man, Mr. Lafferty.
Right. Getting back to him, the former police officer, Lyndon Lafferty, says the killer is a 91-year-old alcoholic man. Mr. Lafferty will not release his name. He claims the killer is 91 years of age, and he does not want the identity. He will not name the killer for safety reasons. He does give him the pseudonym George Russell Tucker. He doesn't use the name because of privacy and safety. The man is still alive.
Okay, again, he's not using the name, though.
The man is still alive. Can I finish?
I'm sorry.
The man is still alive and living in Solano County. He claims that he and other law enforcement officers, whom he collectively calls the Mandamus Seven, investigated the suspect in the early 1970s, but were frustrated by the power brokers in Solano County who stymied their efforts and, he alleges, protected the killer. Now, that's fascinating. That is absolutely fascinating.
What do you, when you say that they were stymieing efforts, what does that mean?
Well, it's possible that this man that is being protected is a former very important person in Solano County, California, and that Mr. Lafferty, Detective Lafferty, and his colleagues were stymied or were frustrated by their superiors because they did not want the identity of this man revealed. So I just feel I find this fascinating stuff.
And all right, we're talking with Margaret Gray.
And I want to finish a thought here. You're jumping in a lot.
I apologize, but I do have some questions.
I understand you have questions, but you're jumping in a lot, and you're stepping on things that I'm saying. I've got a lot of important information, Phil. So if you wouldn't mind, just allow me to get it out, and you can ask whatever questions you want to ask. This is a very, very big story. You know with the Zodiac Killer.
Absolutely. I mean, I was in high school when that happened. I remember the case. I remember how scared to death everybody was. I remember it was frightening. I followed it, Margaret.
Well, you may have followed it. Yes, you followed it. And I'm glad that we have responsible consumers of the news like yourself. I'm a reporter. So that takes it from the level of I followed it, Phil, to...
No, I'm not trying to disrespect your abilities as a reporter at all. I guess I'm taking my cue from you. I'm being as discriminatory as I can, or discriminating, I should say, as I can.
Well, that's a nice left-handed compliment.
It's not left-handed. Wouldn't you want me to ask questions?
Well, I would want you to ask questions of people that you know. I would want you to ask questions, Phil, of politicians, of individuals that you know lie and lie lie almost as if it's the air they breathe. Me, I don't think you treat that way, and sometimes I get that feeling.
No, I do not believe you're lying.
Well, then allow me to say what I have to say without you jumping in and trying to steal a little bit of the thunder here.
I'm not trying to... I'm sorry, Margaret, if that's what you thought I was doing.
Well, that's what it feels like. I've got the killer. I've got the Zodiac killer. The Zodiac killer.
I understand.
Well, no, I don't think you do understand. This man put fear into the hearts, and we know who he is. The identity, okay?
Yes.
Of the Zodiac killer. And I'm just asking to be heard.
All right. I need to take a break.
Naturally.
Well, Margaret, I do have to take a break.
Yeah, I know, and it's very convenient for you.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as Margaret Gray tells us about the discovery of, she says, the discovery of the Zodiac Killer. Forgive me for qualifying it. Forgive me for not being as definite as her. There are questions that I have that I'm going to, I'd like to ask her, and we will right after this break. But the Zodiac Killer, which was a serial killer in the Bay Area in the early 1970s, she is alleging has been, quote, discovered. Okay, 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil, world famous Phil Hendry. She'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray has joined us, a writer for the Dicklin Syndicate. Her column, A Little Bird Told Me, appears in 150 newspapers across the country. I don't mean any disrespect, Margaret. I understand that David G. Hall is going to join us here in a moment. Look, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job. I just simply am trying to do mine, which is to ask, you know, whatever questions I can. David, go ahead.
I want to echo here what Margaret's saying. Give her an opportunity to say what she's got to say, and what I would say is we've got enough problems in the media today. As you know, women are not treated well. I don't need to, we don't want to be perceived as having that cross to bear as well. Look, talk radio is already perceived as a racist, sexist matrix. A racist and sexist hole where these white devils live, you know, and I don't need one more host coming on here.
Look, you know full well I'm not being sexist.
Can I finish my thought? Because I know you cut the lady off, but I'm just saying that talk radio is already perceived by a great many people as this, really just this garbage can of racism, sexism, and stupidity. And I don't need a host, one of my hosts, coming on and giving the impression that he is, he thinks that's funny. And, you know, Phil, I've known Phil for a long time, David, and I don't think he intends that.
No, I don't intend that.
Hold on, Phil. I don't think he intends that. I think he's caught up in his role as Mr. Talk Show host, and I think a lot of these guys don't want to be seen as, giving it up to a woman.
Yeah, and that's been a problem.
Yeah, and so I think...
Just not to interrupt you, but that's been a problem with a lot of hosts. They want to make sure that the woman's kept in her place.
Right.
Can I jump in?
Hold on, Phil, please.
So what I would advise Phil to do is just to, if he wouldn't mind, keep his mouth shut long enough so I can get out some of this information. I mean, we are talking about the Zodiac Killer. The Zodiac Killer. We're not talking about some candy store stick-up. We're not talking about some...
I completely understand it, Phil. I think you need to have sensitivity to that.
I have nothing but sensitivity to that.
Well, that's not what I heard. I heard you jumping in and asking questions.
Can I ask questions?
You can ask questions after she's finished making the point that, yes, they've caught the Zodiac Killer. You keep trying to dig into it. I just heard you going into that break. Well, maybe, allegedly.
That offends me. That absolutely offends me when you will not, because I'm a woman.
No, it's not got nothing to do with you being a woman. It's just, you have a book.
Hold on. See what I mean?
Bill, would you please? I hate to say this to you, Phil. Would you shut up?
Thank you, David. Because I am a woman, it doesn't mean you get to interrupt me and say, well, she says she's got one thing, but trust me, folks, it's something else. You don't get to do that anymore, Phil. As David said, talk radio, and I'm a liberal, and I don't mind saying it. And to me, talk radio is, it's like a piece of meat that's been left in the sun and is now filled with maggots. That's what talk radio is.
I am sorry that you feel that way.
Well, you know, is it any wonder, given what has happened in your media, Mr. Hall?
I apologize. I hope that we can, at some point, make it up to a lot of people.
Well, right now, I think a lot of Americans see talk radio as a place where only a stench, almost like a septic tank, you know? If you've ever walked by an open septic tank.
Well, and we're trying to make it different. Okay, Phil, now you can talk.
Wow, I mean, where do I even begin?
Don't give it a big editorial build-up. Now you can talk.
All right, I'd like to know, if you don't mind...
Whoa, wait, you can give your opinion, she hasn't finished.
Well, what do you want me to say here?
You can say what you were trying to do, and that you were wrong, and then let her take over.
Okay, what I was trying to do is answer two questions. I wanted to know where they got the DNA evidence.
You see what I mean?
Come on, Phil, get with it, will you?
And what am I doing wrong?
Don't start in with ripping her report to shreds.
You know what I'm talking? This is exactly what women are up against. And I am absolutely sick to death of it.
I apologize.
I am sick to death of coming on these shows with a very important series of facts and revelations and having a man like Mr. Henry say, well, but you know...
Ms. Gray, you said that...
I'm not finished. I'm not finished. Not by a long shot, my friend. Now, I'll tell you this right now, David. I am going to hang this phone up and I'm going to leave these airwaves until you get this host that you've got here under control.
Listening to her?
Yes.
So you can, whatever question, you wait to the end of what it is she's got to say. All right, I'm going to go, and I appreciate it very much, Ms. Gray, for being on the show.
Well, I'm hopeful that there is a resolution to this problem, and one that, obviously we can talk about.
Okay, David is not here, so...
So what I was saying is simply this, Phil, that... The Zodiac Killer has been identified. Again, the Zodiac Killer has been identified. His name has not been released because, if you let me finish, there are safety concerns and there are other concerns. He's a 91-year-old alcoholic, and his name was kept from the public by certain members of the police department to protect his standing in society, which may very well have been that of a judge or something more powerful. But now, Lyndon Lafferty is ready to reveal the name once, I believe, the safety is assured. So this is terribly exciting, Phil. It's groundbreaking news. I don't know what you could possibly, why you would want to take away from people this moment of happiness. This man murdered people, and one of the people that he killed was a young lady that he just stabbed and stabbed, and her boyfriend watched. He was tied up watching, Phil. And now this dirty, filthy old drunk is living up there in Solana. Well, have yourself another drink, Mr. Zodiac, because you're about to be taken down. I'm Margaret Gray.
May I ask my questions?
Yes, you may. It would be nice if you waited until after your commercial break. I understand that you have one coming up, because I don't want to have to give half answers, if you don't mind.
I understand that. I think I could ask a question. We'll give you time to answer it.
What?
The DNA evidence that they say ruled out this one man, where did they get the Zodiac's DNA?
I don't know. Is that...
But they, if they have the DNA...
I don't know, Phil. That's not important.
All right. Hold on, please. 877-876-PHIL. The Zodiac Killer has been discovered. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray from the Declan Seneca talking to us tonight about the discovery of the Zodiac Killer.
And Phil, I take note of your tone. I really am offended by it.
We don't have any real proof that this man is the Zodiac Killer, do we?
And what do you mean by we, Phil? As my father used to say, if you got a rocket in your pocket, who's we?
I mean the American, the people of California, the district attorney, the people that represent us.
We have the great work done by a police officer named Lyndon Lafferty, who identified against all odds the fact that there are powerful people. Do you understand? You really don't get it, do you? That there are things going on in this country and in this society, you can't know. There are very powerful people, and there are very powerful things going on.
Right. Yeah, and Margaret...
What do you mean, right? Yeah, I know... So.
But because you know how I feel about conspiracy theories, and you know how I feel about a lot of these things. I don't buy them. I don't buy 90% of them. And I don't believe that this man... What is the DNA evidence?
It doesn't make any... Are they police?
I'm asking what...
Are they police that were investigating this?
Yes, the police did.
Then they know where they got the DNA evidence.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Margaret Gray.
What Mr. Hall had said to you earlier, I think, holds. You are treating me, because I'm a woman, you're treating me like I'm stupid. And
no, I'm not. I'm asking you questions that I would ask a man were he on the air himself promoting this point of view. Vincent, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil.
You
don't have
to say I love your show.
Well, I do.
And
thank you.
First off, a lot of people have been identified as the Zodiac Killer over the years. And first off, where the DNA came from was from the Viejo letters and the San Francisco Chronicle letters that Zodiac actually sent to these publications.
Well,
okay.
Only one man was identified that was given any real credibility, and that was Arthur Lee Allen.
Well, you
the
know what you said.
Yes.
I've heard that you followed this case for a long time, and actually, no.
Yes, I have,
actually,
and I know that
they have actually
the original book that was written.
Suspects, many suspects.
Yeah, I know they had many suspects.
And you know what?
This is the guy they kept falling on.
I hear you're ranting and raving.
Are you a writer? Are you a writer?
Will you let this man at least say what he wants to say?
No, I'm not a writer, but you know what? I'm an enthusiast, and I've followed this case for a long time. And
well, so have I, and I'm saying to you that, yes, I know there have been many suspects. I'm not disputing that with you. But they kept coming back to Arthur Lee Allen over and over and over, including mentioning him in the movie, the most recent film, including in the book, the original book.
Okay, do you know what book that was? Do you know who wrote that book? Robert Graysmith wrote a lot of fictional things that came out in the Yellow Book. It's called
Robert
the Yellow Book.
Graysmith.
Zodiac. And a lot of the things in that book were false. So.
Like what?
In Robert Graysmith's book, a lot of these facts are false.
Are you crazy? I mean, he mentions the stamps. He mentions he even mentions in that book the attempt to extract DNA, even though it was written in the early 1970s.
Zodiac, he mentions him as Robert Hall Star. And again, here's someone else mentioning, like using a fake name to identify Zodiac. But at the end of the day, it all came back that Arthur Lee Allen was not the Zodiac because of DNA, because of recent DNA testing. Now,
where did they get the DNA? Where did they get the DNA?
He just told you they got the DNA from the letters.
His DNA came from the letters, but they got, when Arthur Lee Allen was found dead in his apartment, they took brain cells from him from his autopsy. And they that's where they tested it against Zodiac. And they found out that he was not Zodiac.
I know he's not Zodiac. I'm saying to you that this new guy, the drunk, is the guy.
Well, why do you believe that?
Yes, on what evidence?
What?
You got a fictitious book.
Are you kidding? This is the one thing that nobody's looked. This is what I can't take. I think it's
name and blaming somebody. Until you can come back with hard evidence, then you know what? Zodiac is not identified. I'm sorry.
Who is Zodiac? Do you know who Zodiac is?
I don't,
you know,
and nobody does.
He is? You know what? There's thousands of books about
the
Black Dahlia.
They know who the Black Dahlia is. It's that woman, Elizabeth, what's her name? They know who she is. They don't know
who
killed her.
Who was the killer? Come on. Use your common sense here.
It's probably the cop or that the DA.
What? Probably what? You know, can we get some hard, fast facts here? I've got all this probably.
Bill, you don't know what you're up against here. You and this young man, you guys, you got your head so far up here, you know what? This is a very, these are some power.
No.
Are you laughing at me?
In the United States, you need evidence, not hearsay. What you're getting in this new book is hearsay.
Right. And I got to tell you something. In the day and age of, in the post 9/11 truth era that we live in, I'm getting more and more suspicious of this horse dung about how powerful people are covering things up. You know, I remember this was the early 70s, back when they had a thing called a credibility gap, and when Watergate was about, people wanted truth.
Credibility gap was a comedy group.
No, it was a term used by the press in those days to say somebody's lying to us.
Well, if you're talking about me, friend, you better smile, because I don't lie. And neither one of you guys has come up with anything.
Oh, you know what, ma'am? I don't think you're lying. I just think you're misinformed, and you're getting zealous about a book that has no basis on fact.
You know, I came on this program in good faith, thinking that I was going to be allowed to make my case. And I get jumped by
you
two.
I
get jumped by you two, and it's almost I'm being assaulted. And I know it's not a sexual assault, but in many ways it feels like what?
And what are you talking about?
You know what I mean. It feels like the two of you are controlling me physically as well as mentally.
I'm just bringing you facts, ma'am. I'm not bringing you hearsay. I'm bringing you actual facts about the case over the years. And you're telling me about
it. It feels like Bill is holding me down, and you're having your way with me.
Oh, come on!
No, this man.
That's what it feels like.
Wait a minute.
And when it comes to sexual assault, that's the most important thing.
This man is saying that the hard and fast facts are few and far between here, man. We have DNA that does not indict Mr. Allen. He's done. He's out. Man's dead. Goodbye. We have pictures. We have descriptions. We have, obviously, the wounds of the victims, what the victims went through. We have the letters. We don't have a whole hell of a lot. And you have some cops that did some pretty sloppy. You know that one cop, Vincent, who was the cop that sent one of the Zodiac letters himself? That was pretty whack.
Toshki.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
he was played by Mark Ruffalo.
That's nice. He was played by Mark Ruffalo. Whatever. But that guy, yeah.
Yeah, are you interviewing oh, my God, you're interviewing a caller, not me.
I'm asking the guy one question. What was the guy's name?
His name was Detective Toshki.
Right. That's the guy, and I don't imagine he retired with full honors, did he?
Actually, you know what? When he got into a scandal about the Zodiac letters, and they removed him from homicide, but you know, not to take anything away from him, you know, he was a great detective, and he did a lot of great work for them.
I wonder why did he do that with the letters? Was he trying to get some notoriety, trying to make some money?
Well, you know, I think maybe that was a misunderstanding because a couple of things that I guess he maybe got a little high in the limelight and he wanted his name back in the papers. So he did a few crazy things.
Thanks for your call, man. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. There's Vincent. 877-876-PHIL. As we talk to Margaret Gray.
I am absolutely offended.
Okay, so we got David again. What are you offended by?
I'm the guest being interviewed by you, and you spend an old home week here with Vincent. Vincent. Tell me all about it, Vincent. And tell me, Vincent, where does the sun come up again? Is it really in the east, or does it... Oh, my...
Okay, so we got David on the line. David, I was simply asking that young man...
When are you going to get it that I'm trying to run a... We're trying to run a company here where we are not a bunch of sexist pigs. Now, you've got a lady here on the phone that is a reporter who wants to be taken seriously, and you're having yourself a coffee clutch with a guy calling in. I don't want to be called away from my dinner.
I apologize, David.
David, and he's been doing, ever since you got off the phone, he's been doing it. I don't want to be called away from my dinner. Can I get some more butter and some more of that bread? Make it hot. The hot, yeah, you're bringing stale bread, for God's sake. Get your act. Hey, I'm not even in the mood now. I was going to sit down. I was going to have a nice dinner here at the market in Pasadena, but now I don't give a, I don't care at all for about anything. I have lost my appetite. I've lost my interest in life almost, it seems like.
David, I would not let that upset you, but what I am saying is, Bill needs to be reminded of who the guest is.
You know who the guest is, right?
Yes, I know who the guest is. How could I forget?
Oh, my God. You're being smart-ass again.
No, I'm not.
God. You know, I came in here. I'm in a lousy mood. Hey, you, where's the bread? I want it hot, too. You know how the hot bread... Hold on for a minute. The bread. I want it warm, and I want it on my table. No, you're not. You're standing over there with a toothpick. Go get me bread and bring me that butter. Not that... If you bring me margarine. You see what's happening?
Is that my fault?
You better believe it. You better believe it. I apologize, Ms. Gray.
Go back to your dinner, David.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to... on the line in Southgate, we have Mavis. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Mavis, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm calling. I want to talk to this lady about it. I have never heard in my life a rude woman like you. I'm not being rude, but you shut your mouth. Now you tell people shut up, now you shut your mouth. Can I say something? No, you may not say nothing. I don't want to hear you say nothing. I have heard and heard and heard. I listen and listen and listen on my radio tonight, and I listen every night. And I've never heard a woman come on any radio program like I've heard here tonight, like a woman like you, talking all this garbage about everything. Mr. Henry trying to ask a question.
You know, can I tell you something? I am a liberal Democrat, and give a damn if you remember the American Nazi Party. I don't give a damn.
The Nazi Party?
I'd like it better if you was a Nazi. I'd love it. Yeah, I'd love that. I think I'd trust you more if you was a Nazi. You trust me more if I... Are you hearing this, Phil? I take it that you're black.
Why do you think I'm black?
No, you're not going to trap me that way.
How do you think I'm black? I demand an answer, you Miss White liberal.
I'm not going to answer that. I'm just going to say I am a liberal, and I don't know why you're finding fault with me. I'm trying to stand up for the rights of women. And
you know something? You, as far as I'm concerned, you're a day late, a dollar short on that. And I don't need you standing up for me. I try to get Mr. Henry, and I want to know who the Zodiac is, because I remember the Zodiac very, very well. When I was in San Francisco back then, my husband moved up there and worked. And Robert here, who worked for Mr. Henry, too.
Robert's here, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember when the Zodiac was in the news, and I thought I was like going to load up a pair. I'm going to tell you right now, when they said about the Zodiac, I thought I'd load one up.
I don't understand load one up.
You like, well, I'm not going to, I'm a lady. Unlike you, I'm a lady. I'm not going to say. But I remember I took about three pairs of clean underwear with me, and I thought I'd load two when I heard about Zodiac Killer.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know something, Margaret? You're always talking about streaking, so...
How dare you bring that up now? Talk about streaking. Well, if you talk about streaking, don't you worry about me loading one. I load them. Listen, I've given birth to seven children. I've seen them load... I've seen diapers. I've seen all kinds of load jobs. Well, you know something? I've never in my life been so insulted. And I'm going to tell you something, lady. I think you have been insulted. I think you're not going to tell nobody that.
All right, look, I've got to take a break. Mavis, thank you for your call.
But I want to say one more thing. Do you have bumper stickers, or do you just have those cheap coffee?
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Talking with Margaret Gray, we've had David G. Hall, and we're talking about Margaret's allegation that the Zodiac Killer has been found. Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but I don't see, just as that last gentleman said, I don't see the hard and fast evidence of that. So we're going to continue with our line of questioning here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with us is Margaret Gray from the Declan Syndicate as we talk about the Zodiac Killer, a serial killer that was active in the San Francisco Bay Area between 1969 and 1971. And I believe the death toll was seven or eight. I don't know, Margaret.
I'd love to give you this information, but you have interrupted, and I think it's unfortunate, Phil, that you've allowed your own, I think really your own lack of ability as a reporter to cloud the discussion.
I apologize to the extent that I've not allowed facts to come out. How many people are attributed to the Zodiac Killer?
What does that mean, how many people?
How many people did he kill?
Phil, that's something that the police know.
Well, you followed the case.
Yes, I have followed the case very closely, but I don't, off the top of my head, I don't keep the kind of, I don't fixate on things that are, quite frankly, that are disturbing and ghoulish. I fixate on the science.
So we don't know how many people he killed.
Well, you don't, but I do, and...
Well, how many?
I don't have the number with me.
Well, from what I've read, I thought maybe it was a half a dozen.
Well, you can't say that. You're not a reporter. Boy, you really are trying to make this... You're trying to confuse things.
I'm just saying, from what I've read, it seems to me that maybe it was six or seven. I don't know. I'll have to look it up myself. Here is Josh on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing today?
Fine. Thank you very much.
Good deal. Margaret, how you doing?
Hello? Yes?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Now, I don't know...
I think that the number of victims are five confirmed dead and two injured.
Five confirmed dead, okay.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I just wanted to know how many people he killed, that's all. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Margaret, I don't know this squad about this Zodiac killer from 1969 to 1971.
Oh, my God. Then I mean, there are people who don't know anything about it. Then why are you calling up?
Why am I calling up? Because it's very frustrating when I hear another caller that has, seems like they have more information than you have, and you're sitting there shooting them down.
I beg your pardon. I'm a reporter.
That's awesome. I'm glad you're a reporter.
Thank you.
You dedicated your life to this Zodiac killer, but yet you don't have.
You know something? He was a serial killer that they didn't catch.
Hey, how about letting me finish? You don't have the basic facts when somebody asks you a question about, let's say, how many people he has killed.
No, you got to love a guy that says he doesn't know anything about the Zodiac Killer, and now
you don't know, or what you do know.
Well, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
It's an obvious thing. It's a painfully obvious thing. I mean,
what is it that you ask me? Ask me something about the Zodiac Killer, and I'll tell you.
Well, I asked you, and you.
I'm not talking to you, Phil.
Oh, see, there you go. I mean, if you don't agree with what you're saying, you're automatically wrong. Phil is trying to get some. Basic.
I wanted to.
You can give him a straight answer.
Well, go ahead. Ask me anything.
Him or me?
The caller. I want you to ask me something.
Okay.
Why can't I?
What I say when I first got on here. I don't know a thing about it.
Well, you mean you do want to ask me something? All right. What about? Phil. Ask me something.
Did you say the caller or me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to get educated. I'm trying to get some good knowledge on this, but every time somebody would call in or Mr. Phil would ask something, you cannot give a straight answer.
I most certainly... It's not important to know how many people he killed, so who cares?
Who cares? You got a certain...
Is he a serial killer, or did he just kill one person? I mean, come on.
I think if I said he's a serial killer, that means he's killed more than one. I think that goes to the basic intelligence of the situation.
So we got that basis down. Okay, he killed more than one person. But you've been reporting on this. You've been studying on this, correct? For how long?
Yes,
how many years have you been doing it?
Since I started writing in 1982.
That's 30 years.
No kidding. Yes, 1982.
And
now the Zodiac Killer was active in 1969 through 1971.
Right, that was in Wikipedia.
Oh, are you ready for him? That was in Wikipedia. I'm a reporter. I don't need Wikipedia.
Now we're out of time.
Of course you're out of time. You're always out of time. You know, sir, if you want to know more, follow my column in the Dicklin Syndicate. And I'll have more information for you. Obviously, I can't get the information out the way I want to put it out there. And it's unfortunate because, you know, years ago...
Okay, thanks a lot.
How dare you cut...
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is going to continue here in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL. More news to come. Mitt Romney. Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Just a reminder that, you know, we have a free stream of the preceding night's first hour on our website. So if you are not a subscriber to philhendryshow.com, you can still hear at least 1 hour of the preceding night's show. Just look under recent shows. You'll see there an archive for our video as well as our recent shows, say within the last week. It's a 5-day archive, and then the audio goes into our much, much bigger archive. But we also have a free hour of the show available so you can listen, as well as philhendryradio.com, where we have live streaming archive material 24 hours a day. So if you want to get a taste of what's in our archives, you can go there. Get a backstage pass. You also get to see live streaming video of our show. Right now, we're on Phil TV in HD. It's a great picture. I mean, I ain't the best looking guy, so maybe the picture, yeah. But you can see how the show is performed. We also have behind us the Pacific Ocean. It's all really cool and groovy. So anyway, you can do that. We have our News and Information Hour coming up next hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. A little note, we have our first ever free Phil Hendry Show podcast, which is going to be happening on Monday, and we will let you know where you can go. We're probably going to be using SoundCloud, so you can access our podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast, through SoundCloud. There'll be a link as well on our Phil Hendry Show homepage. And I believe we will link it as well from our philhendryradio.com page. 877-876-PHIL. Ron Tarner is going to join us, Dr. Tarner, from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado in a moment. But to give you the setup, there is a man, and this man believes that he can build a starship. That's right. In the television show, in Star Trek lore, if you will, the first Starship Enterprise was built in the year 2245, but today an engineer has proposed and outlined in meticulous detail, including a number of schematics that I believe I was looking at when I pulled this story, building a full-size ion-powered version of the Enterprise, complete with 1G of gravity on board, and this man says we can do it within 20 years. The guy's name is BTE Dan, Build the Enterprise. The name of the website is Build the Enterprise, and he goes by the name BTE Dan. So I guess we don't know much more about him than that. He is he identifies himself as an engineer. He calls it the Gen 1 Enterprise. He says it could get to Mars in 90 days, to the moon in 3, and could hop from planet to planet, dropping off robotic probes of all sorts en masse, rovers, specially built planes, and satellites. I guess there's one thing in here that I don't see, and that is the... You know, the warp factor, what do you call it? What was that?
Speed of light.
No, it's the speed of sound.
No, it wasn't. It was the speed of light, bud, the speed of sound. We already know how to break the speed of sound.
We do?
Yes. The speed of light, which is, I think, warp factor one is double? I don't know. Why would I even be talking about this? Let's get Dr. Ron Tarner on here from Mountain Meadow Observatory. He's in Denver, Colorado this evening. Ron, how are you doing tonight?
Phil, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to try to figure out what some of these people are talking about.
Have you seen the story?
Well, I took a look at the story, Phil, when your young man there called me and said that you ought to be on the program. But I'm glad that you have had me on the show, because this has been an area of great concern for myself and others for quite some time.
And when you say great concern, what do you mean?
Can I just mention something to you?
Yeah.
You always say, when you say this, is that you have a way of... I'm not in a good mood. Let me start all over again. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm not in a good mood.
So you're kind of... Are you mad at me?
No, I'm not mad at you, no.
All right, I can restate the question.
No, it was a perfectly good question. I'm in a foul mood, and I'll tell you why I'm in a foul mood. I really feel very strongly about this, Phil. The Trekkies and the Star Trek Enterprise and the Star Trek TV show has done so much damage to our culture. It has done, and I know there's people who are thinking that they don't know what I'm talking about.
Like me.
All right, like you, and I'll explain. The obsession that we've had with the starships and Klingons and the, Chaplain Kirk and the things that...
Captain Kirk, you mean?
Captain Kirk. And the things that are associated with the starship television program have so preoccupied otherwise... contributing members of society, I believe, is so destructive, and it has harmed us. It has warped our view of the future. It has warped our dreams. You can't think of the future now without this ridiculous television show. So when you told me about a man saying that he could build a Starship Enterprise, I would love to debate him. I would love to debate him. And I would love to hear from him just how he's going to do it. And after I read your story, I tried to send an email to this website.
This is the Build the Enterprise website.
Yes, Build the Enterprise. And this man, BTE Dan, and I'll read it to you. And here it is. Dear BTE Dan, for want of a better term, this is what I'm assuming you would like to be called. I have a name. My name is Dr., and I underlined that, Ron Tarner. You'll notice, BTE Dan, that I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor in astronomy. And so your wanting to build a starship is right up my alley. Hint, hint. Okay. I go on to say, I don't think you can build a starship any more than I think Mickey Mouse made broomsticks walk in the classic Dumbo movie. What did I write here? I should write Dumbo.
No, not Dumbo. It was in the movie Fantasia. What did you write?
I wrote the Dumbo movies. Fantasia?
Yeah.
Hold on for a minute. In Fantasia. Okay. I don't think you could build a starship any more than Vicky Vowse could make a drumstick walk. Not drumstick. Boomstick. What is it called?
Are you writing the letter now?
No, I wrote the letter.
Then what are you doing?
Excuse me? Phil, I came on your program to tell you about...
You know, I don't want to get in an argument with you, but I already went through this with Margaret. I have to control the show here.
I understand that.
Okay, are you writing the letter now, or did you already write it?
I thought I was in a bad mood.
Are you writing the letter now?
No, I already wrote it.
Then what is this walking drumsticks?
They're broomsticks from the movie, the Mickey Mouse. What was the one that Mickey Mouse? Not Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse from Walt Disney.
Yes. And a broomstick walked. And let me tell you something. The way I felt about that movie, and I didn't say anything to anybody because I figured they'd arrest me. But do you remember the story of the man who was taken into a precinct house by the New York City police and sodomized with a broomstick?
Yes, I do.
Well, I was imagining that when I was a 10-year-old boy watching Fantasia, only Mickey Mouse was the recipient, and the broomsticks were holding him down, and another broomstick was having a go.
And when you were 10?
Yes, I did, yes, because I'm sick and tired, even at the age of 10, of a Fantasia and a Mickey Mouse fantasies. And so, Phil...
You know, that's a disturbing thing for a 10-year-old boy to think, and very disturbing that your problem with the Star Trek conventions and so forth extends beyond Star Trek.
Nobody said anything about conventions yet.
Well, that's why you're on the show, because you're going to tell us about what happened at the convention.
I'm not even close to getting you to the convention yet. There's things I want to say. All right, Phil, I'll grant you that it was an abnormal thing. Not abnormal.
I think it's very abnormal. Very abnormal for a 10-year-old boy to sit there thinking about Mickey Mouse being sodomized with one of the very brooms that was walking down the castle, you know.
What do you mean, castle?
Was that not the Sorcerer's Castle?
I don't know. But, you know, your knowledge, Phil, of... I'm talking to Henry. Dr. Spock is here.
Dr. Spock?
No, not Spock. Sprague. S-P-R-A-G-U-E.
I was going to say Spock.
Yeah, I know you did. You think I'm talking to Mr. Spock. Do you understand?
No, I thought you said Dr. Spock, the baby doctor.
Baby doctor? What the hell is... Okay, Jim Sprague is here. Jim is one of our... he is a cartographer working with Mapping the Sky. And I call him Dr. Sprague, even though he's not a doctor. But you called him Dr. Spock, and that's the guy on Star Trek.
No, it's Mr. Spock is on Star Trek. Dr. Spock was a baby doctor whose book was purchased by millions of American women for the baby boomer years.
Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Your mother probably had a copy. My mom did, too.
Well, Mr. Henry, when you mentioned my mother, smile, okay?
I'm not being disrespectful. Wow.
Just, you know, when you mention my mother, smile.
I'm not being disrespectful at all.
When you mention my mother, smile.
I'm smiling. And I have to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. Well, we got a couple of people on the show tonight. It is loaded for bear. We'll be back here with Dr. Ron Tarner on this guy who claims he can build the Starship Enterprise. I'm assuming that Dr. Tarner's got a serious, serious problem, not just with this guy, but with all Star Trek fans. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Ron Tarner is with us, Dr. Ron Tarner in Denver tonight, as we talk about this guy. He's a Star Trek fan, I guess. He's an engineer, and he started a website called Build the Enterprise, BTE, and his name is Dan. That's the only name that he goes by. Have you seen this?
Well, yes, I saw the article. I saw these alleged schematics. I'm embarrassed that any man with any education, if this man is an engineer, as he claims he is, I'm embarrassed for him. It's one thing, Phil, to call yourself a Trek fan and act like a fool.
Why the hostility?
My hostility?
Yes.
And why do you call it that?
Well, because you don't want me to get into it.
No, go ahead. We can talk about it.
All right. You were at the Star Trek convention last year, and keep in mind, there's a lot of them, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them. I was at the Star Trek convention. They must have 12. They must have one for every month of the calendar year. They had a Chicago convention. They had one in Philadelphia. They had another one in Las Vegas. They're having another one in Vegas this year. They have another one in Los Angeles this year. I have never seen a group of adults... more interested in avoiding reality, avoiding the responsibilities of life. No wonder our country is in the shape that it's in. Nobody is minding the store. Everybody's at a Star Trek convention. And I know that sounds like the punchline to a joke, But in point of fact, Bill, it's very real. And
so you were in Chicago last year.
Oh, okay. I'm very sorry, Phil. I'll get to the point. I know I'm boring you.
No, I was very interested in what you had to say, but I wanted to get us back to...
I was in Chicago, yes.
All right, you were at the Star Trek convention in Chicago.
Yes, last summer.
Okay.
And we were doing tat, what we call tit for tat, and that's not dirty. That means that we are reciprocating the Star Trekkies for what they've done to our culture. And
what is tat?
That's trip a Trekkie. And it's a very innocent thing where you stand at the... When we were in Chicago, and they were at the... I think the main ballroom there at the Hilton in Chicago... Not the Hilton, at the Hyatt, which is right on the lake there. And
yeah, I was there, I think, for our NAB.
All right, so you know the hotel.
Yeah.
All right, and I was there, and you would see these Trekkies go by, and they would be dressed in any kind of a costume of the television show. And if you got an opportunity to stick your foot out and trip one, you score a point on our website. And I'll give you the details of the website later. But Trip a Trekkie was...
So you were counseling people on your website to basically assault.
Oh, Phil, you're...
Well, that's what it is.
No, it is not assaulting anybody. It's tripping someone. And
if you trip someone and they fall and they break an arm...
One broke an arm, and you know what? Before you say another word, this is exactly what's wrong with our country. We got people walking around in their costumes. We have people that want to sue for the least little. So you can walk around in your asinine costume and say, "Let's build a Starship Enterprise," while the American economy goes straight to hell, to hell, hell. You know what hell is, don't you?
I know my version of hell. Yeah.
Oh, what's that, listening to me?
No, I didn't say that at all. Why would you take that person? I know what my version of hell would be.
All right, I don't know whether, you know, I've been assaulted since I came on this program.
I'm not, let me just say this, Ron, okay? I'm not assaulting you at all. I'm asking you to get to the bottom of your, you despise Star Trek people. You got pushed out of this or escorted out of this convention last year.
Yeah, I was escorted. I wasn't pushed.
All right. For tripping people, part of this trip a Trekkie. And I, are you telling me that that's not a reasonable thing for me to say, that if you trip somebody, what if they break an arm?
I'm telling you the following thing. I wish you'd listen to my point of view, which is this. You have these people, while the American economy, American workmanship, the American, everything that's going on in our country, we are at an all-time low when it comes to proficiency, when it comes to production, when it comes to the quality of the things that we do. We would rather dress up in a rubber mask, okay? And if you want to take it, and I don't mean to be funny, if you want to take it to the extent, not only the rubber mask of a Klingon, but the rubber mask of a sexual deviant that I don't know how many husbands or wives may assume on any given night in this country. So, you know, what we're saying here is essentially the silly things that we...
The rubber mask of a sexual deviant.
Yes, the rubber mask. What I'm saying is the silly pursuits and the Star Trek pursuit, and that's why we were tripping people.
Are you going to be tripping people at the Vegas convention?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now they're forewarned, aren't they?
I don't care. You know, all you got to do is stand there and wait for a crowd of people to go by. And when there's a crowd of people and a guy has on a Klingon head, you could trip him and no one's going to see it. This is a very small thing, Phil. A very small thing. When you consider what these, forgive me, what these bastards have done to our culture, to our country.
The Star Trekkies is what we're talking about.
Yes, and you don't need to play it dramatic, and you don't have to give the long pause, because I already know what you think. But if you listen to what I just said, I think I very eloquently described the time they waste, the destruction to our culture, the destruction to what we consider to be truth and possibility. Yes, I called them, yes, I'll say it again, those bastards.
877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins is joining us here from Joyful Union. R.C.'s up at Bradley Military Academy, excuse me. And he is a junior cadet. R.C., how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Henry. Thank you for having me on the program.
Okay.
My question is to your guest, Dr. Tarner, is it, sir?
Yes, Dr. Rod Tarner, yes, sir.
My question is this. I'm a military academy cadet at the Bradley Military Academy, and we don't do a lot of science studying of it, but we do enough. Are you saying that the idea of an ion-powered starship of the kind that the man was saying he could build, are you saying that that's impossible?
I am telling you, young man, that it may be within the realm of possibility, but what he thinks it can do, you see what I'm saying?
Well, he's saying that it could drop people off on different planets.
Well, it may be able to drop people off on different planets. But what are you dropping people off? It's not like it's a bus service. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, not exactly, sir. What he was saying.
What I'm saying.
Well, hold on. But what the man? Excuse me, doctor. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
What the man was saying was the Starship Enterprise could fly to the planets and deliver cargo, much needed cargo, for the colonists or what have you.
What colonists are you talking? This man said that.
Well, I'm assuming that we would colonize, for instance, the most logical planet would be Jupiter.
Son, do you know anything?
Please don't call me son, sir. I'm gonna die for our country someday.
Hold on. We got to take a quick break, gentlemen. We'll be right back here with our caller and with our guest, Dr. Ron Tarner, as we talk about some guy that wants to build a Starship Enterprise and Dr. Tarner, who says Trekkies, all of them are, quote, bastards who have eroded our culture and have distracted us needlessly. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
Can I finish?
Well, yeah, but it's just the fact that if a guy's in a spaceship and you land on the planet Venus, you're going to see some things you didn't.
Phil and...
Bull crap.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory. And I know that Dr. Sprague is there. Is he a doctor or not?
He is not a doctor. I refer to him as Dr. Sprague because it's an inside joke between us. He's a cartographer, does a mapping. He has a master's degree in that, but he does celestial or star mapping. But the reason why I even mentioned him was because it sounds to me, Phil, as if you are making a case for the Star Trek rubber, you know, what I call the rubber heads.
No, but I just didn't understand your hostility.
My hostility is the following reason. We are in a culture today, the American culture, the country is doing very poorly. And instead of figuring out ways that we can help our country, we have people in a rubber with a rubber mask on. What is hard to understand about that?
I'm wondering, though, is it just not them entertaining themselves?
Entertaining themselves is going to a movie. Entertaining yourself is, forgive me for saying this, I think the hour is okay. It's masturbating. If that's what you want to do, that's entertaining yourself.
That was a really nice thing to say.
Well, Phil, I'm trying to talk as plainly as I can. It's not running around with a Klingon wig on. And
so that what you're going to do is go and trip people and get yourself escorted out again. You may get arrested this time.
Why do you say that?
If somebody may think it's assault.
Well, if I get arrested, I lay it right at your doorstep, sir, because you're the one that called it assault. You're the one that has introduced the word arrest. So now you've upped the game.
Oh, no, I haven't upped any game, Dr. Tarner. You're the guy that's going to be standing there tripping people as they walk through this convention. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Rick. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Rick, go ahead.
Yes, hi. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
Good. I just want
to... If I get arrested, though, I blame you, Mr. Henry.
You can blame me all you want. Go ahead, Rick.
I'm up in Alaska here. I listen to you guys every night, and I'm kind of kind of blown away by the way the...
Coca-Cola out of that machine, please.
We got a caller on the line, Dr. Turner.
I'm sorry?
We have a gentleman talking.
I apologize. I wanted to send somebody to get me a Mountain Dew.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of blown away here by the way... You're the host, right? And
I'm the host, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they won't let you talk and get your two cents worth in.
Hear that? Thank you. Thank you. Hear that, Dr. Turner?
And what is your name, sir? You're Rick?
Rick,
Dr.
Yes.
Dr. Turner, Rick. Yeah, Rick, the reason why Mr. Henry gets interrupted, I'm a doctor, and I'm talking about a guy, Mr. Henry wanted me to read an article about a guy who's building a starship. Can you believe that? Now, I'm simply saying that building a starship makes me hate Star Trek more than I do.
Right. Right, right.
Well, what are you laughing at? Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. I'm sorry.
No, I heard you. This is what it's telling. You went, you had, there was like a laugh. It was like what I call a laugh breath.
Well, I wasn't laughing. I was breathing there. You know, it's pretty cold up here in Alaska. I'm sitting by a window. But anyway,
yeah.
I just wanted to. I just wanted to...
Well, Mr. Henry is a good man, but I think when it comes to Star Trek, I have a little bit more information. Have you ever watched the TV show Star Trek?
Oh, sure have.
All right. And I'm sure you've enjoyed it. I enjoyed it the first 8,000 times I saw it. But when I started seeing conventions and people walking around with pointed ears, I began to think, isn't there something better they could do with their time? And when I asked them about it, and they ignored me and continued to have conventions, that's when I went to the one in Chicago, and I started to trip some of them. You followed me so far?
Well, yeah.
I was
when I called, I was talking about the Lady Margaret talking about this.
Well, I don't know who that slut is.
Whoa! Watch the language, okay?
Well, yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, and I can't believe the way the. Callers treating the host to the show. You know, telling him to shut up, not letting him get his own opinion.
But I don't understand this. Mr. Henry talks far more than he should. He's the host of a show, yes. But that doesn't give you the right to just talk over me. You see? So
why not?
Who's talking now?
Me, the host of the show, Mr. Henry. Why not?
Because I'm a doctor, and you're a guy that...
I'm a guy that what?
You sit and you go blah, blah, blah on a radio all day long. That's what you do. Me? I look at the stars. I map the celestial heavens. I do something for science. You sit and you do nothing for Rick here, who wants to hear something substantial, and instead he hears you going blah, 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 blah all day long. Is that right, Rick?
No, I don't.
You got it back?
I don't agree with that.
I beg your pardon. So, in other words...
What he's saying is he appreciates what I bring to the radio, and you're just a guest. Now, my understanding is Margaret Gray... Did you get her back, bud? We have Margaret Gray on the line, Rick, if you want to talk to her. Margaret?
Yes?
We have a gentleman who takes grave exception to the way that you talk to me.
Well, I don't care. I don't care. I feel I can't even believe I'm back on the radio with you.
Well, this man thought you were rude to me.
I was rude to you. Oh, Frank, you hear that?
I don't understand that. This is Frank Gray. Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry. And Rick, you there? There's
Dan,
and I have Rick.
Who is Rick?
Rick is one of my listeners.
Well, Rick, you're saying that my wife, someone that I love dearly, and I've been married to him now for almost 40 years, you're saying that he was rude to Mr. Hendry. Is that what you're saying, Rick?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Give me the phone.
Margaret.
Give me the phone.
He's the host.
I wasn't rude.
He's the host of the
show. This is
Margaret.
You know.
Wait. She's the host of the show. Yeah, I understand that. But my wife was making a point about...
No, Mr. Henry's the host of the show.
That's what I said. Mr. Henry's the host of the show.
Oh.
My wife was me. My wife was making a point about the Zodiac Killer and how she killed all these people. And my wife said to Henry, why was she not allowing my wife to finish? See?
That's when I thought that she was being rude to my wife. That's all. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so, reasonable people can disagree. I'm sure you would agree about that. But when my wife has been covering the Zodiac Killer for years, and he comes on this show to talk about it, and the host of the show immediately starts to discredit him by asking a lot of questions that only a police officer would know, I think that makes him look bad, and she's doing it just to make herself look big. See what I have to say about it?
I still don't agree. I mean, he's got to get his opinion in sometime of the show.
Yeah, hi, this is Margaret Gray. You see, he asked how many people did the Zodiac Killer kill? I don't know. Then he said, where's the DNA evidence? I said, I don't know. So I answered his questions. And I answered them as well as I could.
You don't know is not that.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, I'm not talking to you. God!
Look, Henry, why don't you shut your mouth while my wife is trying to talk to her?
See, this is what I don't like, and this sours my taste for the show, but I'd like to keep listening to it,
Do you understand what Frank just said to Phil? All he said was, shut your trap.
Yeah,
well, my wife
host on national radio.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rick, for speaking up for me.
Thank you, Rick, for speaking up to me. You know, Phil, you're such a child.
You know, I'm getting Rick. Get out of here. I'm hanging up on her. Anyway, Rick, I appreciate. Is Dr. Tarner still there, bud? Make sure Dr. Tarner doesn't hang up. Rick, you're a very kind gentleman for calling and defending me. It happens. It comes with the territory, as they like to say.
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good
night. You too, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Ron Tarner, you there, Ron?
I'm right here. Thank you for. I didn't want that guy to start yelling at me. And that Gray and that husband of hers, what happened to him?
You talking about the gender confusion?
The gender, is that what that's called? He kept talking about her as a him, Hugh. Is there a guy named Hugh?
No. What are you talking about?
Well, he was calling you her. Doesn't that bother you?
He has a problem.
I know he's got a problem. Well, the first problem he's got, he's married to her. The second problem he's got is he doesn't know whether it's a her or a him.
Well, that's the way you put it. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show, talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner about the, this. Let's get back to the Star Trek stuff. We could, bud. Get our host, get our guest, rather, reconnoitered, reoriented. We'll be right back. The Phil
Truth
Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Everybody that I know.
877-876-PHIL. Dr. Tarner, I hope you won't mind. We've had people calling who want to address themselves to Ms. Gray, I guess.
I don't understand why I'm on your program, then.
Because people want to talk to me. Because they want to know. Obviously, we were talking about Zodiac.
No, well, the reason why they want to talk to you is for the same reason the last gentleman. They feel you're rude to me.
Phil, I'm not interested in how you stack the calls.
I know that you could do that, can't you, Mr. Henry?
Do what?
Stack the calls and make them all come out on one side.
Yeah, so that they all are in favor of you?
No, we're not stacking any calls. The people just call up. Let me get to this gentleman here. His name is Jimmy in Indiana. Jimmy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, she's very rude. She acts like she knows what she's talking about, but I don't think she's got a clue on what she's doing or what she's saying. And her husband.
Well, are you familiar with the Zodiac killer? I sure am.
I actually lived in California when that was going on.
All right. So, well, then what don't I know? I mean,
he asked you questions and you kept on. Going off in another direction. You answer the question what he was asking. You kept on saying you didn't know. if you're...
Well, he's asking...
Go ahead.
Yes. Well, he's asking stupid questions.
Well, he's asking questions he wants to know, though. That's what he's there. That's his radio show. Isn't he wants to know what's going on. He wants to know the questions.
Exactly. That's my job.
Hold on, Jimmy. Jimmy, hold on. Phil, I got to ask Phil. I got to ask the host of the show to shut his mouth. If you won't shut your mouth, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're asking me to shut my mouth.
I can't hear the gentleman. What did you say, sir?
I was very interested in what you guys were talking about, and when he was asking you questions, you didn't know what he was... I mean, you didn't have a clue on what he was talking about. You kept on avoiding the question. So how can it be his fault for you not knowing what you're talking about?
Well, it's not that I don't know what I'm talking about. He was asking irrelevant questions. Do you understand that they have found the Zodiac Killer? We should be celebrating.
Right, and that's...
And instead...
No, they haven't. No, they have not found the Zodiac Killer. Let's be very clear.
How dare you?
There's no name that's being attributed to this man. There's no... I don't know what evidence they have. They've got DNA evidence that you... This is what Jimmy's talking about. When I asked you, where did they get the DNA evidence?
What difference does it make where they got the DNA evidence?
Well,
who cares? Why? If you guys would ask me... If you'd ask me a relevant question, I'd be able to answer it. But Phil Henry asked me nothing but ridiculous questions. How many people did he kill? Who cares?
I care.
Where'd
I
get the
know
DNA?
How many it was. If it was 50
Where'd
or
get the
100
DNA?
Or 10, it made a big difference.
Go ahead and ask me a question about the Zodiac case, and I'll give you the definitive answer. Ask me any question.
Okay. You said they had DNA evidence of the guy who did it. But he's an older guy that's a drunk, right? That's what you were saying?
No, they don't have DNA evidence.
They don't have the DNA evidence.
Would you shut up, please? I'm answering the man's question. They don't have DNA evidence of him. They have DNA evidence showing that one of the suspects they've cleared.
Okay.
No,
the
drunk...
Not the one you were talking about.
No.
They don't have any DNA...
I'd say it one more time, Phil.
It's my show!
Are you talking to my wife again like that?
Hey, Frank, why don't you go sit down and take a nap? Jimmy, the DNA evidence that they had, they got off of one of the envelopes that was mailed to the San Francisco Chronicle by the Zodiac Killer.
Right, right.
That DNA profile that they lifted did not match the number one suspect that they did have at that time, a guy by the name of Allen. Then
right.
Mr. Allen, after he died, they held on to some of his DNA, and it did not match. So they exonerated, if you will, that man after his death. So we're back to square one. We don't have a Zodiac Killer, but Margaret's talking about a guy in Solano County, 91 years old, an alcoholic, and we don't have a name.
They can't release the name.
Why?
There are very powerful people who don't want it released.
See, that's the kind of horse dung that I just can't... I'm sorry, man. It sounds like a bunch of conspiracy theory bullcrap. Who are the people?
If I could name them... Do you realize that if I named who they were, I could probably be killed?
Oh, sure. That's a very convenient thing to say.
So you want my wife to die?
No. The thing of it is if you want to keep a conspiracy theory going...
Oh, Phil, you're confusing people. This man, Jimmy, doesn't know what you're talking about. Do you understand, Jimmy, that the alcoholic that we're talking about, we can't give you his name because he may be a former judge that powerful people are protecting still 40 years later, even though a lot of them are probably dead?
You would think that somebody, no matter who it is, they'd want to know who it is. I mean, that's...
No kidding.
That's the public's right to know.
And the other thing is, what you're saying here, Margaret, is you're not only saying there's powerful people, you're saying there's police officers involved in covering this up. And you don't have one single shred of evidence.
It's all in Lafferty's book.
It's all in his book. So why don't we all run out and buy his book?
Are you calling me a shill?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm calling you. You're shilling for this guy's book. That's what this is all about. This cat, I could buy his book tomorrow, read all this, and it'd be the same swill I've been reading for the last 40 years on his Zodiac. He ain't any closer than anybody else.
Well, you just called the woman that I love a shill. You know, I've known this woman for a lot of years, and he's never, ever compromised his integrity. And that's what you've just said.
That's right. That's what I've said.
Hey, Phil, I appreciate you taking my call. I got to go.
Thank you very much, sir.
That hurts. Now, as to Jimmy and what he did.
He's hanging up.
Well, I don't blame him for hanging up. If I were Jimmy, I'd hang up, too. The things that he's done in his life.
Get out of here. Thanks, Jimmy. So, to recap, by the way, is Dr. Turner...
Dr. Turner's really mad.
He's mad?
Yeah, you're supposed to be talking to him, and he's on the hall with Mr. Spock.
It's not Mr. Spock, it's Dr. It's a guy named Spock. I don't know who the guy is. Hold on. Hey, Ron.
Yeah, hey, Rod. Hey, Rod. I'm sitting here on my thumb. I got Spock here, he's gone down, I got me five Mountain Dews. What the hell is going on?
I'm sorry, it's fallout from the last hour we did where we were talking to Margaret Gray. I apologize.
You know, what's the point of me coming on your program? You want to talk to her about some crazy idea she has concerning the Zodiac Killer. Meanwhile, I'm on the phone with good, solid, hard evidence that a Starship Enterprise could be built and land on Jupiter. Now, what? I don't understand.
Uh-huh. All right.
So I'm nuts, am I?
What is that, man? I didn't call you nuts.
No, but that uh-huh is the... We got a wild one on the line. That's what we... Hey, Sprague, you hear this? Yeah. Sprague knows.
Yes, Sprague. Is that Mr. Sprague or Dr. Sprague?
No, it's Dr. Spock. Remember? What a freak. You know, Phil...
All right, so he's hung up on. So that's great. So I don't think that we've cut off so many people in 1 week since, last week. Unbelievable. Just to recap, folks, there has been no Zodiac Killer arrested. There's been no Zodiac Killer identified. This individual that Margaret Gray was talking about is a guy that's in a book. Some cop wrote a book. He won't give the guy's name. And you know why he won't give the guy's name? Because he could be sued. He could be sued for slander. He could be sued for libel. That's why he, not safety and all this other crap. If you name a guy and say, this guy's the Zodiac Killer, this guy's going to sue your ass off. So he's going to sell his book, and I think it's a load. I've heard these conspiracy theories before about how, they're protecting a judge, and it's a guy who did this and something. This was a serial killer. And plus, if this guy's 91, that would make him in his late 40s, maybe early 50s when he committed these crimes. Convenient, huh? All right, we'll be right back. Our news and information hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445 and philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We start a new free Phil Hendry podcast for those of you that are into podcasts. There's people that are just stone-loving podcasts, man. There's only one podcast that I like. It's the one that we do. We're going to start a new one on Monday. Be forewarned. Be on the lookout for the new free Phil Hendry podcast. We will link it from our homepage at philhendryshow.com. We'll also link it from philhendryradio.com, and we will be using SoundCloud, so you can subscribe directly and download directly there the new Phil Hendry podcast starting on Monday. And we're going to have some interesting things. I'm going to be giving you some background on me, and we'll be playing some archived stuff, some new stuff. We will have all of our usual cast of characters. And obviously, it will be uncensored, as are all podcasts. So we don't have that. We don't have necessarily those restrictions when we're working on the internet. So check it out, starting Monday. Now, You can also come to our website, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of our show every night. So, and you can also watch our live streaming video cast on demand as well at philhendryshow.com. That is a subscription fee. You also get thousands of hours, over 10 years worth of radio shows at your disposal there at philhendryshow.com. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with us. How you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Dealing with Margaret Gray tonight.
Yeah, my aunt, by the way, that was my aunt who was on the show tonight. That's right. Robert's aunt, Mavis, called up.
Yeah, and she wanted to know if Margaret Gray, is she for real? That's what she asked me.
Is she? Yeah. Well, you know her as well as I do.
Yeah, I told my aunt, I said, Margaret Gray is she's real. My aunt said, well, she like to know how that woman looked walking down the street on 2 feet with her boot up her ass. That's what she said.
And your aunt is a religious woman, isn't she?
Yeah, it got nothing to do with it, man. She talked about it. Yeah, you be religious, still say a dirty word.
I know that. It just didn't sound like, I've never heard your aunt say, you know, my boot up your ass before. But there's a first time for every time. So anyway, welcome back to the show here, guys, our News and Information Hour. We're going to lead the hour as we ordinarily would when we have this kind of a story, and we do have this kind of a story because we have a particular interest in this case. This thing is just a train wreck. It's to me, it's fascinating, and it is the John Edwards case. Because understand something, folks. John Edwards, which I know there's a lot of people who are listening right now, it doesn't surprise me, Phil. John Edwards is a douchebag. Well, look, John Edwards was a douchebag for cheating on his wife, yes. And even before all of that stuff broke, John Edwards wasn't much, as far as I was concerned, of a presidential candidate. As a senator, I can't comment. I don't recall following his career very closely when he was a senator. I am imagining that it might have been a pretty good one. Maybe that was the limit to John Edwards' ability as a politician, senator. As an attorney, I understand that he was a personal injury attorney who won a great many settlements. And a couple of the cases I'm familiar with, you might be too, and you would probably have been rooting for John Edwards, as I was, in some of those cases where there was just clear, brutal, horrific negligence on the part of some companies. But now we find John Edwards, the presidential candidate. And that's a whole other ballgame, baby. That's a whole other ballgame. John Edwards, the presidential candidate. And now what's happening, not only did he not make a very good presidential candidate, but he, it turns out, wasn't a very good husband. And on top of that, they're trying to keep him out of jail. And in order to keep him out of jail, they're basically having to say, look at what a scumbag he is. Now listen to this. Lawyers for John Edwards spent their second day of defense testimony Tuesday trying to discredit the chief witness against him, while also seeking to prove that money paid to support Edwards' mistress constituted private gifts and not illegal campaign contributions. So, Andrew Young is in their sights. Andrew Young was the chief prosecution witness. Andrew Young was a friend. He's a former aide. He's a guy that apparently was a middleman or a bagman of some sort. He's a guy that Edwards' attorneys are claiming profited from the monies that went from these benefactors to the John Edwards coffers. But basically what these attorneys are saying is this. Yes, our client had money that came to him that he gave to his mistress, but that wasn't campaign money. Oh, okay. This was just money that was given to John Edwards for what? Well, let's read on. The former FBI agent hired by Edwards' attorneys to investigate money spent by the witness, who was former aide Andrew Young, testified that Young and his wife claimed they'd spent money to support the mistress. That's what they testified, that it was their money that they spent to support the mistress, when in fact they spent much of it on themselves. That's what Edwards' attorneys are claiming. Further, hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations from two key Edwards benefactors intended for the mistress. Now understand, the FBI agent is testifying. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations from two key Edwards benefactors. You notice they don't say campaign contributor. Because if it's a campaign contributor, they're already admitting this money went to the mistress. Intended for the mistress, were used to build a $1.6 million mansion for the couple, according to this FBI agent.
So what they're saying, man, the money that came to Edwards
with not campaign contribution, though.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So they're saying that the money that came to Edwards wasn't campaign contributions, which, by the way, probably wasn't, because the amounts, you can't technically call them that, because the amounts are enormous and would probably violate the restrictions on campaign contributions, campaign law, finance law. So this is whatever it is. It's wham, baby. Walking around money, going to John Edwards to the tune of millions of dollars from, maybe it's from Bunny Mellon, maybe it's from God knows who the hell. And the bread isn't going to John, which is where I'm assuming these benefactors figured that it was going, but then maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they knew. Let's give John this bread because he needs it for the mistress. Oh, okay. Uh-oh, wait a second. What's that? How dare they? The money's not going to the mistress. It went to building the Youngs a $1.6 million home. What are these people? Who are, you know, do these people think they're making themselves look good? Do they think they're making Edwards look good?
I don't understand, man. If the money, forget about whether it's campaign contribution.
Right.
If the money coming to Edwards, why is it Andrew Young spending it?
Well, the question is the following thing. The FBI agent, the Edwards claim is that he was the benefactee of these monies. This was money that was going to go to John Edwards. John Edwards was going to use this money to give to a mistress. But John Edwards is claiming the money didn't go to his mistress. The money didn't go, and it wasn't from a campaign contribution. It was from benefactors. But in point of fact, Andrew Young used this money to build himself a home. It's basically saying, if you think my reasons for using this money are nasty and dirty and low down and scummy, look what this guy did. He built a house.
That doesn't sound as bad. Give it to a mistress.
Well, I mean, no, it doesn't. The fact of the matter is, if I'm Bunny Mellon, and let's just imagine, don't get smart with me now, that I'm Bunny Mellon.
You want me to bet you're a little old lady?
I'm telling you. But, I, you know, if I'm sitting there and, oh, John Edwards, he's just the greatest thing since canned freaking beer, man. I think what I'll do is give him a few million because he's just, you know, he's great to look at. And like I said to Dan before the show, have you ever heard of a woman? Well, I shouldn't say this. It's not nice. But, I mean, she's giving this money to this guy for what? Was there sex involved? I don't know. You know?
Oh, God. God.
Man, you got to take that back, man. What?
You're saying he's got to have sex with her? She's an old lady.
Whatever, man. Weirder things have happened. What's so weird about that?
No, I saw that movie the other night. What's it called? Gloria Swanson? Yeah, remember that movie?
Gloria Swanson?
Yeah.
There's no movie called Gloria Swanson. She's an actress. You mean Sunset Boulevard?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Sunset Boulevard. That old lady wanted to have sex with that man. Man, that was nasty.
Yeah, I couldn't finish my tricks.
You couldn't finish your tricks, huh?
What are you laughing at?
You, man. What do you think I'm laughing at? Yeah, okay. So it was Sunset Boulevard. Who knows, man? So Edwards is there. And Edwards is getting this bread. I don't know why. According to this lady, Mellon, who I don't believe is with us any longer, she's the heiress to an enormous family fortune. And she said that John Edwards reminded her of the Kennedys, and he was just all this, right? Okay, great. Well, she's giving this guy money. Is it a campaign contribution? There was testimony in this trial. No, she doesn't give him campaign money. No, she wants to help John out. Oh, okay. I mean, it sounds to me like it's a campaign contribution that gets around being a campaign contribution by calling it, but you know what I'm saying. So, okay, great, fine. So this bread, first of all, it's going to the Youngs. Why is that? They're hiding it. Why are they hiding it? Because it may look like a campaign contribution that's illegal. And in point of fact, it's just a benefactor giving money to a guy that reminds her of John Kennedy. I mean, if you're finding this hard to believe, folks, you're not alone. So now the bread comes in, and here's Edwards' attorney saying, but can you believe that the money didn't go to his mistress, which is what it was intended for? It went to Andrew Young to build a house. I mean, folks, like I said, this is what happens when it's the last-ditch effort to keep a guy out of jail. You'll admit to anything. You'll call your own client anything. You'll show him to be anything except the criminal that the prosecution wants the jury to believe he is. Or if there is a jury, it's got to be a jury trial. Well, in any event.
Why would it be a jury?
I don't know. Some of these civil trials, it's just a judge. But so it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. I'm going to come back. I want to read a little bit more of this, and we'll get into another story that's equally bizarre, one having to do with... Do you wear bangs, ladies? Any ladies listening? Do you like to have your hair hanging in your eyes? Guess what? According to one story, it could result in lazy eye.
Yeah, like a wonky eye.
Yeah, wonk eye. Wonk eye, yeah. We'll be right back. Wonk eye. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. This show's sister wives on Tender Love and Care channel. Ain't that what TLC is?
Yeah, it's Tender Care or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's what TLC's... Oh, no, the Learning Channel. That's what it is.
No, you were right. Tender Love and Care.
Well, whatever. Okay, so the Learning Channel.
Tender Love and Care.
I just got done saying it's the Learning Channel.
Sorry.
Anyway, what's this show, Sister Wives?
Yeah, they're Mormon. They're not allowed to do it, but they do it anyway.
They're Mormon, huh?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Well, when you two guys say you're pretty sure, that...
Well, I mean, that's what they call it. They're Sister Wives. That guy, I can't believe that guy gets to go and have and get naked with four different ones.
It looks like there's five or something.
Yeah, I think it's some... like a Mormon thing.
All right, well, it may be a Mormon thing. I just thought it was illegal in the United States to have more than one wife. Maybe I'm wrong. And I know that there's guys that do it. I don't get me wrong about that. But cats that do that don't necessarily go out and get a network TV deal. You know, hi, I'm breaking the law. Let's do a TV show. Oh, okay. God. There, you know, if you haven't seen the movie Network, you have to see the movie Network. The movie Network... which was a favorite, by the way, of the late, great Neil Rogers, a guy that was a bit of a mentor of mine, and a lot of guys in the business, in the radio. Randy Rhodes is another one who worked with and learned a lot from Uncle Neil, and no greater radio talent ever lived than Neil Rogers. He used to talk about Network all the time. Network... was the movie with Howard Beale, the character Howard Beale, played by Peter... God, what's the guy's name?
The Howard Beale guy.
Peter Finch.
Who's that?
That's the actor that played Howard Beale. And it's the famous movie where he says, I want you to go to the window, open it up, and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's probably the thing that is the most famous from that movie. But the movie was written by a guy named Paddy Chayefsky, who is a brilliant television and movie writer. And was released in the mid-70s, a good, 25 years before the very things that it predicted would happen started to happen. And I mean in earnest. Yeah, a lot of the stuff came out in dribs and drabs. But, you know, Network predicted the era that we're living in, where infotainment would become the law of the land. This was unheard of back in the 70s, where you'd have... a mixture of news and preacher, kind of like what Glenn Beck did, a mixture of news and comic and clown, which is what a lot of cats do now, and it also at the very end where Howard Beale, who's become this, he's a big time newscaster. He's also coming off like he's Oral Roberts. So if you can imagine a guy, a cat that's giving you the news and who's also coming off like the a Sunday evangelist, his ratings go down, and so they decide to salvage what they can by having him killed on the air.
That's what they did to him?
Yeah, his ratings go down. And the last line in the movie is maybe one of the funniest lines in the history of movies. The guy says, Howard Beale became the first man in the history of television to be killed for bad ratings. And that's what happened to him. They shot him live on the air and killed him. And that way they were able to, and why did they do that? Because they were able to ascertain by looking at the research and the ratings and the points per cost and the quarter hour and all of, see what I'm saying, folks, all of this attention to this asinine arithmetic that we have gotten swallowed up by in our country, that we've forgotten all about. What is the product that we're actually delivering here? And you can, it's not just television, it's happening everywhere. You talk about how crappy television is, but, you know, with all due respect, what industry isn't touched by this kind of bad management, bad ownership, bad leadership? And that's what that's about. So the flick is phenomenal. And when I'm talking about this stuff, talking about network, we're talking about, we're seeing it happening right now in our, in front of us. And I'm wondering, the only thing that hasn't happened...
Yeah, they haven't shot nobody yet.
Yeah, but you know what? One of the things that movies like Network and movies like The Truman Show and movies like that, one of the things that they do inspire is this little bit of paranoia, and people go, wow, that very thing I saw in Truman Show, I bet you that's happening right now, you know. And wow, when they killed that guy, I bet you they've done that. I bet you. So it sort of...
Yeah, but it's kind of one thing chasing the other.
I don't think it's one thing chasing the other. I think the network made a really good point about what was happening to television. And the whole thing about shooting and killing Howard Beale, it's I'm sorry, but it's got to be in the back of somebody's mind somewhere. When are we going to see that? Well, we haven't exactly had that. But do we not see people getting shot and killed on TV all the time now?
Yeah, police chases.
Exactly. So you're not exactly going to come out and shoot the news anchor, but, you know, you can show people getting shot and killed. And there's a lot of Fahrenheit 451 in that.
What's that?
Fahrenheit 451. You don't know what that is.
But that was Michael Moore.
No, it wasn't Michael Moore. Fahrenheit 451 was written by Ray Bradbury.
How are we supposed to know about this?
Yeah, how are you supposed to know about it? All it is a classic piece of literature. All it is one of the most famous books ever written. Why would you know about it when there's the Michael Moore movie to go see?
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd tell us about it.
I tell you about these books all the time. You clowns are still back there reading your freaking Preacher comics that I left you.
The Preacher's good.
I know The Preacher's good, but you ought to read some other stuff too. Fahrenheit 451 is a book written by Ray Bradbury. It's a brilliant book. It's about a futuristic society where books are illegal and they burn the books. And the reason why it's called Fahrenheit 451 is that's the temperature at which paper burns. And the story is about one of the firemen who's sent out to burn all the books. He takes a book and he hides it, which is against the law. You're not supposed to do that. And he comes home to this loveless marriage, and his wife sits there watching TV all day long. And it's this big TV. It's like a super TV that everybody is supposed to watch. And he brings this book into the house, and he starts to read this book, and he becomes interested in the books, and he wants to know more about the books. And the fire department that he works for begins to suspect him, and, you know.
Does he get burned up by the fire department?
No, he doesn't. But they do go on one call. They're sent to a house where there are books, and rather than the man who owned the books, rather than allow himself to be arrested, when they set fire to the books, the man just throws himself into this bonfire and kills himself that way. It's very...
Like a Buddhist monk, huh?
No, not like a Buddhist monk. Sort of, but not quite. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. More on... John Edwards, and more on whether you're going to have a wonky eye from those bangs. It is The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thank you.
Phil Henry.
Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. It is, of course, our news and information hour. And I got interested in, I don't know why we got off on the topic of sister wives, but we did. It might have had something to do with the John Edwards trial, although why, I don't know. But this TV show, Sister Wives, the guy is, oh, I know, I want to know whether it was legal or not.
Yeah, you want to know what this guy, has he got, you know, wives or, if they're wives, did he marry him or did he not?
Yes, well, he married one. He married one. So the reason why it's legal is that the cat is basically married to one, and the other three, or however many there are, it's a spiritual union. So any way you want to look at it, you know,
got pretty lucky. Lucky? They're seeing his three women. Butter. That guy is. That guy's stuck in a butter hog hell, and everything.
Just shut up, bud. Don't talk that way, okay?
What do you mean a butter hog hell? You ever seen him? That each one individually outweighs the guy. And
all right, okay, thank you very much. I mean, do you have to be disrespectful?
I think somebody's got to step up and speak the truth. For the first time, someone needs to speak the truth. This guy, first of all, the guy's been lashed to a butter hog hell. And
Bud, don't you think this guy has free will?
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? This cat, he's lashed to a butter... He's lashed to a butter hog hell. God, what a disrespectful thing to say.
Boy, I don't know what he's talking about.
You don't know what he's talking about.
What, do you want me to spell it out? They're fat. They're big. They're getting bigger as we speak. Every episode, they get bigger.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is that, so what's wrong with that? Yeah, that sounds like something you'd say. Hey, man, let me tell you.
Whoa. Okay, bud, so whatever, the women are not your taste in women, but the fact is, this guy has four or five wives, I forget how many, it's not important, he's only married to one, and the other ones are living with him. They're living with him, man. There's no law against that. There's no law against that. So, really, you know, what you got, the only advantage of being married in the sense of the kind of marriage that we have in America... You get a little bit of a tax. You get a tax break. You get the benefits that come to being married, but those benefits do not extend to. They're not per wife or per husband. So obviously, anybody that is living a quote polygamous lifestyle in the United States legally, it's not really legal because they're not married. Polygamy is the definition is you're married to multiple partners. He is legally married to one. And he's, quote, spiritually, and I'm using his words, this guy Kelly Brown, he's spiritually married to the other ones.
You're not getting no financial break.
No. In fact, we were just talking about that. Dan and I were talking, how does a cat like that, well, I know how he's doing. He's got a TV contract. But
but some of them polygamy people, they wish they had a television show.
Yeah, that's how they'd be able to do it.
Well, guess what? I guess they ain't giving out the TV contracts to polygamists these days. But that, I don't know what kind of bread that guy's pulling in. Probably pretty, you know, it's TV, man. This cat must be making money. Must be making a nice, it's TLC.
How much money do you think he's getting?
I don't know, man. I mean, I can tell you that the money on cable is not network money. Like, what was the big thing? Wasn't there a big stink when James Gandolfini wanted a raise for The Sopranos?
Yeah.
And when he was talking about the money that he wanted, they were saying, no, you don't get it, man. We just don't have that many viewers. And they don't. They don't. We think that The Sopranos probably pulled as many viewers as regular television. No, no way. First of all, it's cable. And secondly, it's on a premium channel, which means you have to purchase HBO. So the viewership is in the millions, but it's not probably over, I mean, the best possible, on a good day, man, it probably doesn't even approach 10 million.
You're kidding.
No. I mean, of the best Sopranos that ever aired, it probably didn't even get 10 million. I don't even think they got 8 million. But it's great for cable. I mean, it's a lot of viewers for cable, but the money has got to be commensurate. So, you know, you can't just start passing out the dollars there.
Yeah, but if you got a popular TV, what about all the magazines?
Well, I mean, I would bring that up to HBO. I'd say, look, I know you don't have a lot of viewers, but look at all the play that we're getting. We're getting all this press. We're getting all of this. HBO is getting publicity. This is worth money. So you can make that statement. You can make a case. I don't know how much money he wound up getting, but all I'm saying is, for the Learning Channel, I don't know what they're paying, but one thing's for sure. Whatever they're paying that guy, he's able to support his family, you know.
Now, man, but they moved to Las Vegas. Yeah, they probably moved to Las Vegas. The guy could get another income going.
Yeah, that's it, bud. The guy's going to start, what, playing blackjack?
No, he's probably desperate. But, and if you don't want me to say it, but I'm going to say it. And you have to feed those four women. Can you imagine the food bill? And
all right, I get it, okay? At least you're not saying butter hog.
Well, the food bill alone.
Yeah, I gotta agree with him on that one, man, because if you're fitting feed bags on four wives, would you guys knock it off with the fitting the feed bags and everything else? I get it, okay? So he's got four wives. He moved to Las Vegas. He's going to have a second career as a blackjack card sharp. He's got 17 kids. Forget about the wives, man. He's got four wives. This cat's got 17 kids.
Put them to work.
It's against the, you can't put kids to work. We were just talking about that. You can't put little tiny kids to work, man. Here you got a six-month-old, a two-year-old, a seven-year-old, an eight-year-old, eight-year-old, 10-year-old, 10-year-old, 10-year-old. Good God, man. Cody and Christine, Cody and Janelle, Cody and Christine, Robin and David Preston Jessup. Who the hell's he?
I think that was a guy that was on a polygamy man before this new guy.
Who the hell is Cody? Is this Cody Brown guy?
Yeah.
I thought his name was Kelly. Anyway, Robin and David. So there was one other stud. I shouldn't say that. David Preston Jessup. He fathered three of them. And the rest are, this guy Cody has fathered children with one, two, three, four different women. Well, you know, good luck, pal. And like I said, it's probably good that you got a TV show. In the autumn of 2009, independent producers Timothy Gibbons and Christopher Poole approached Figure Eight Films, a North Carolina-based company, with the concept of a reality series about the Brown family. I guess they must have met him someplace.
Yeah, I might have met him at the Mustang Ranch. That's what they...
Shut up. All right.
What are you shutting him up for?
I don't need anybody saying that I'm calling this guy's wife's whores. Do you mind, bud? All right, anyway, getting back to where we were supposed to be here, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Now, listen to this. Call it the Great One-Day Lazy Eye Panic. It started apparently with a story in the Australian tabloid Daily Telegraph, which quoted an Aussie eye doctor as indicting the hair-over-one-eye hairstyles of Cameron Diaz and Nicole Richie. Those of us into old movies prefer Veronica Lake. This is the writer, Brian Alexander, and countless emo boys and girls is causing lazy eye or amblyopia. Amblyopia is when you got that wonk eye that kind of goes, ew.
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. I've seen a lot of guys. Remember that one guy?
Yeah, we were over at the cafeteria one day. This guy was talking to me. I was nervous because I didn't know which eye I should stand in front of.
Yeah.
What do you mean, which eye you should stand in front of?
Well, a guy's got two eyes going this way and that.
Which one do you stand in front of?
Stand in front of the guy. That's what you stand in front of. Let him focus.
Oh, I don't know. You know,
you're telling me that you're... What were you doing?
That's why he was shifting back and forth. You thought he had to go to the bathroom.
You mean the day that I saw you going back and forth from one leg to the other, you were just trying to get in front of the right eye?
No, well, yeah, whichever eye it was. You thought I had to go to the bathroom. You walk up and said, well, why don't you go to the bathroom? I said, I don't need to go to the bathroom. And you said, why are you shifting back and forth from one leg? And I couldn't answer you.
Yeah, I thought you were acting really weird.
That's why. He was trying to see which eye you should stand in front of.
Well, now do you know? See which eye you should stand in front of. That guy, he's going to focus on you. You probably, I bet you anything, that guy thought you were nuts or had some kind of a nervous condition. Anyway, the story that this doctor in Australia said that the bangs over the eye caused lazy eye, the story made its way to the Huffington Post. By the time MSNBC.com contacted Dr. Leonard Press, the New Jersey eye specialist who co-authored the clinical practice guidelines on amblyopia for the American Optometric Association, the assistant who picked up the phone said, you mean the hair over the eye thing? So they were all ready for it. And forgive me for mispronouncing optometric, and the condition of lazy eye, as we call it, where one eye will drift
is called amblyopia, A-M-B-L-Y-O-P-I-A. So Dr. Press could barely suppress a chuckle. Amblyopia, a condition of reduced vision in which the brain does not recognize some or all of the information the eye sees, is indeed a serious eye problem, he said. And one of the reasons it's serious is that if left untreated in children younger than 7 years of age, a very concerted, sometimes difficult effort has to be made to correct the lazy eye. That's because after about age 7, the neural and optical mechanisms involved have well established, and changing them is very tough going. They've tried to change it with surgery. They've tried to change it a lot of things. That's exactly the reason why Nicole Richie is safe. The story would only be true, he explained, if you had somebody young enough and if that person never looked out of that eye, if it was 24/7. The reason it's false is that you don't have that constant deprivation. So this Australian, supposed Australian doctor is full of crap.
That's on account of he's from Australia, and he ain't American.
Yeah, they don't have the development.
What do you mean they don't have the development? It's a fully developed country. Just some jackball doctor, that's all, of which we've got plenty over here. Don't worry about it. The visual system, Press said, is so well established after childhood that combing your hair over your eye will not do anything to that system. So there you go. It's bullcrap. If I had hair.
Yeah, good. See if you had hair, you can test it out.
All right. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show in our final segment. The Japanese may be in danger of extinction. You heard me right. The Japanese may be in danger of extinction by the year 3011. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Show here, and don't forget PhilHendryShow.com. PhilHendryShow.com. Get a backstage pass. We've got a live streaming video of our show right now. It'll be on demand tomorrow. Our podcast will be on demand tomorrow. You can download the podcast at PhilHendryShow.com. That is the Daily Show podcast. Our special free podcast will be available starting Monday. That'll be a free twice a week podcast. As it is, our Daily Show is available every single day for download at PhilHendryShow.com. Now, just a question. Paris Hilton.
Yeah, you're talking about that lady got the thing over her eye.
Talking about the lady. I was talking about the bangs, but then we got into talking during the break about the fashion, and that led us to the Kardashians, and that, of course, led me to make the statement, boy, did they ever eclipse Paris Hilton, because Paris Hilton was it. She was a brand new phenomenon, too, because I can't think of who it might have been that was the predecessor to Paris Hilton in that media, that celebrity party girl thing. I don't know that we had that. I mean, we did, but they didn't have TV shows, you know.
Like what be celebrity party girl?
Well, there were celebrity party girls down through the years, but you didn't give them television shows. Because of the explosion of cable, because really the explosion of platforms, that is, media platforms, the multitude of video platforms, as well as every other kind, internet, TV, internet, and so on, they need programming. And this has always been, and if you want to know, folks, why things are the way they are, understand something. Technologically, we have made enormous strides in the area of communication, as you well know. We have all these what are called platforms, delivery systems. That's what a radio is. It's a delivery system. That's what a television is. It's a delivery system. That's really what a podcast is, a delivery system. And we have these platforms. You know, that's what they're calling them now. But you still have one problem. What do you put on them? What do you put on them? What is the content? What is the TV show? We got to think of TV shows, Eddie. You remember that Bruce Springsteen song? What was that? You like that song, Robert.
Yeah, talking about, I don't know the name of the song. He says he's watching TV and it's like 69 channels and nothing's on.
Did he say 69? That's probably code.
You know what? Will you shut up? Yeah, but he was saying there was a lot of channels and nothing on.
Yeah.
Well, he's right. So they got to have something to put on it. Now comes somebody's bright idea. I got it. Let's take a camera and follow Paris Hilton around. She's really interesting. Well, what's she do? She goes to parties. Well, how? I don't understand. Well, you mean we're going to follow these people? Yeah, we'll follow them and see what happens. So they stuck a camera on her. They gave her a reality show. Boom, 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 boom. She's making money. She's got her own line of clothes. She's got perfume. Now you see she becomes a and people love them, man. You know, you ask yourself, what do? Well, they do what they do. They go to parties and they promote their fashion and they promote their perfume. That's what they do. And people dig that. Okay, fine. So there's a product. There's a market for that thing. Now what happens? Here come the Kardashians. They do it in threes, you know, plus mom. They blew Paris Hilton off the mat. Here come the Kardashians, man. And they'll be hanging around for a while until somebody else comes along. But what we have now is this, you know, party girl as media spokesperson, spokesmodel, etc. And
I wonder what's going to be next now.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but this is what we were saying when we were talking about network. I don't know what's next. But it's going to be interesting to see who will succeed the Kardashians now. And what happened to Paris Hilton? I'm sure she's fine. They all have bread.
Is Paris Hilton, was she rich before she got on the television?
Oh, yeah, man. Sure. Her family is the Hilton Hotel. You ever heard of them?
Yeah.
That's her family. So her family had the Hilton Hotels, and the Kardashians, of course, their father was Robert Kardashian, who's a very successful lawyer. Now, what comes after them? I don't know. Maybe the next big thing will be some chick who's the new party girl who ain't got any money.
Yeah, that's Snooki.
That's right. It is Snooki.
Yeah, Snooki. Yeah, she's got money now.
All right, well, Snooki didn't have no money till they found her, you know. It's that they come out, they come from nothing, and but it still is rags to riches because they got to get rich, you know, by virtue of the fact that they're on TV. Okay. We told you about John Edwards. That's a real sick thing. Now the Japanese. Bud was laughing about this one.
Yeah, because Dr. B told 3,000, the 3,000 century.
What are you talking about, man? 3,000 century.
That would be the 31st century, Bud. Thank you very much. Another 1,000 years.
Yeah.
In any way, but let's just read this. Japan has a problem, a lack of children. It seems likely there will be even fewer in the future. Japanese researchers have now warned of a doomsday scenario if it carries on this way, with the last child to be born there in 3011, and the Japanese people potentially disappearing a few generations later. Dig this. So they figure that the Japanese nation only has 1,000 years left.
Why?
Because there ain't no kids getting born. I don't know how they could feel 1,000 years. What? Anyway, academics from the city of Sendai, which was hit hard by last year's tsunami, calculate there are now 16.6 million children under the age of 14 in Japan. And they say that number is shrinking at a disturbing rate of one every 100 seconds. So if you do the math as they did, then the country will have no children within a millennium. Another study recently showed Japan's population is expected to fall a third from its current 127.7 million over the next century. Government projections show the birth rate will hit just 1.35 children per woman within 50 years, well below the replacement rate. Now academics have created a population clock. Man, I'll tell you something. The Japanese, they can think of more weird things, man.
But you don't believe it?
I believe it. If you look, I can show you the math on every kind of weird thing that could happen. And I understand that they may be having a situation when it comes to kids being born. But the Japanese, I think the tsunami's blowing their mind a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, same thing about the atom bomb, only now it's the tsunami.
Same thing about the atom bomb.
Yeah, you're talking about the atom bomb made Godzilla. Now the tsunami is making, like, no kid.
Yeah, that's what you could call it.
The tsunami's making no kid. What is that, a monster?
No, it's just, that's what it is.
Well, look, man, the Japanese aren't so fragile a people that every time something bad happens, they're coming up with some weirded out idea. I mean, let's put it this way. The Japanese are people used to disasters, okay? They know all about it, man. They've dug themselves out of some pretty deep freaking holes, so I think I would at least pay a little attention. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and myself, Phil Hendry. And of course, we're online here each and every day at philhendryshow.com. So we certainly advise you and suggest that you get yourself a backstage pass and join us for our video casts, okay? Remember, our free podcast comes up on Monday. That's Monday for the free Phil Hendry podcast. But each and every day, you can download our show at philhendryshow.com. And you can also watch an archive of the video casts. We'll see you guys tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.